taking care of business, plain and simple. That's what the Phoenix Suns did tonight at home, beating the Oklahoma City Thunder by 18 points, coming away in the fourth quarter, closing it out, just beating a team they needed to beat. We'll talk about all of it. We'll get a little fun as well coming up on Locked On Suns.
Network, your team every day.
We are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, contributor at Suns.com and Dime Magazine. Thank you for making Locked On Suns your first listen every single weekday morning. Days like this, where it's just fun to be a Suns fan. Days when it's not so fun and everything in between. We're here, every single one of them. Thank you for following and subscribing on YouTube. If that's where you happen to find the show, we are 47 as I'm recording. 47 subscribers from me giving away this rally towel that could be yours. I will select a random subscriber when we get to 750. So thank you to all of you who have pitched in growing this YouTube channel. It means a ton. You can also, of course, listen and subscribe on any podcast platform if you prefer the audio version of the show. You can also follow along on Twitter at LockedOnPHXSuns and at BrendanKleen14 if you would like to keep up and see my thoughts in printed form, I guess. You get video, audio, and if you want to see my musings online, then that's what happens over on Twitter in addition to show updates and all of the rest. So that's that. We have, a lot to get to. It's going to be a fun show today. Gonna kind of relax a little bit on the game recap. I mean, again, taking care of business. This is what the Suns are supposed to do. Devin Booker, 38. Cameron Payne, 16. JaVale McGee, 16. Like, this is the type of game that even without your starting center and your starting power forward, you should put a beat down on the Oklahoma City Thunder. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We will also, I want to talk about what it would look like for Devin Booker to score 30. To average 30, rather, over the course of a full season. I actually think it's kind of a fun thought experiment. And because he keeps doing it, going over 30 in three of his past four games, I thought it might be fun to construct that reality together. And after games against Memphis and Oklahoma City, my thought has been on the tanking era of the Suns a little bit. And so I am going to go into the Wayback Machine, and we're going to put together a starting five of timeline era Suns players who I wish were still around. I'm going to put together a roster, a starting unit of those guys who could have been part of this team but lost the chance and are part of that bygone era of losing and tanking that we just moved on from not too long ago here in the Valley. So that's the rundown of the show. But as I said, this one, more so than anything else, is about beating up on a bad team. So let's start there. Today's show, guys, brought to you by Truebill, the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions that you don't want or need. And Truebill can even negotiate better deals on the ones that you want to keep. So last year, the Suns, it was a storyline all season long, and they started to come away from it by the end of the year, but if you zoom out and look at the standings, of course the Suns were the 2 seed. They had a 51-21 record. They won 71% of their games overall, but games against losing teams, so that is teams below 500, they played 34 such games out of 72 total. And they were only 24-10 in those games, so they didn't play a ton of them. There's less of those in the NBA than there are winning teams, I would say, and so that's part of it. But also, they did not clean up like they should have. If you look around the other teams in the standings around them, the Jazz last season were 28-6 against losing teams, the Nuggets were 26-8, the Clippers were also 26-8. Even lower-level teams like Portland and LA were also 26-8. The Philadelphia 76ers, the 1 seed in the East, were 30-6. The Bucks were 27-9, all better than what the Suns were. Now, you look this season, and after beating Oklahoma City for the second time in a couple of weeks here, The Suns are now 27-7 on the season, but they are also, maybe most importantly here, 13-2 against losing teams. So 15 of their 34 games have come against losing teams, and they have won 12 of those games. So that is what you need to do. We talked about it during the streak. We've talked about it since. Yes, some of those games were against teams that they should have beaten. This was not an 18-game winning streak where they romped across the Eastern Coast and just, you know, Celtics, Knicks, Nets, on and on and on, 76ers, and then swung through the West and beat the Warriors three times. Like, this, that's not what the streak was. However, it matters just the same, and it signals an improvement over last season. So if the Suns obviously were to stay on that track record, they would be, you know, 26-4 by the end of the season or whatever that looks like. And that's just such a great way. We talked all last year about Chris Paul's trusty saying, which was piling up wins, stacking wins, and that's what they did. But they took the long way. They took the hard way last year. You know, they were beating teams like the Bucks and the Nets and the Jazz a couple of times and making it really hard on themselves. They were last season, 27-11 against teams above 500, which was the by far, by multiple games, the best record against winning teams in the entire NBA. The Jazz were 24-14 and the Nets were 23-13. Those were the only other teams in the nearby vicinity. Everyone else was far behind that, so the Suns were two games better in winning against winning teams than they were against anybody versus anybody else in the league, and considerably worse against those below 500 teams than most of the other championship contenders. So if they can flip the script this year and actually beat up on the bad teams, then they have a really good shot of increasing their winning percentage even more. And, you know, right now they're tracking towards 68, 69 wins. And they're going to keep being right there if they can beat up on the bad teams and, you know, do their darndest against the good teams. I mean, it's not like they're dropping games. They're not losing to anybody consistently right now. But, you know, they can drop the odd game against Memphis or against, you know, the Warriors, or we haven't even really seen them take on a lot of the other great teams, the Bucks, the Jazz. They haven't even played yet. So they can lose games here and there to those teams as long as they take care of business against the really, really bad teams. And that's what they did today. I mean, it's not much of a take on this game because there's not a whole lot to say, but it's, you know, about halfway through the year almost, and the Suns have demonstrated that that's what they're going to do this season. So if they can keep that up, that would go a long, long way to helping them out in the record books this season. So talk about Devin Booker, who was the obvious bright spot tonight. 38 points, nearly a season high, and three games out of four now where he has scored 30 or more. So I want to kind of get into the imaginarium a little bit and look at what would it look like for Booker to average 30 over the course of a whole season. Could that happen when Chris Paul leaves? I want to get into all of it. But first, a quick word from True Bill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? We all know it happens. We all hate it. We all deal with it. Well, of course, it's a business scam. Greedy corporations pocketing your money, doing their best to never tell you that they're doing it. Truebill, though, helps you take back control of your subscriptions. Truebill is a new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions that you don't need, want, or simply just forgot about. Companies love to make it difficult to cancel those subscriptions. They love to hide it at the bottom of an email. They love to charge you and then tell you, oh, by the way, you're on the hook for another year or another month and you just got charged. Sorry, here's the deal. That is what they love to do. But Truebill loves to make it incredibly simple, and your Truebill concierge is there when you need it to cancel unwanted subscriptions in just one tap and monitor the subscriptions that you do have to say, hey, do you want this one? Do you still need this one? Is this what you want to be paying? Give you that helpful reminder all along the way as well. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands per year. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Devin Booker tonight, a really strong performance yet again. 38 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. He shot 50% from the field, 50% from deep, 80% from the free throw line, getting to the line quite a bit again, which is great to see. He's really starting to, it feels like, you know, be on the cusp of a real run here. He's now at, I think this is updated through tonight. It's at ESPN. Usually their stats update pretty quickly. 46% from the field, 42% from deep, 86% from the free throw line. So I don't want to jinx it, but, you know, a 40-50-90 season is within reach. If that two-point percentage can continue to rise like it has been most of the year, and or most of the month is what I meant to say, since returning from that hamstring injury, he has now made more than half of his threes, which is wild. He's, I believe, 24 of 47 from deep since returning over the past six games. And we know he tends to have these stretches in December and January. I don't see an end in sight, but what it makes me want to do here, as I said, is to imagine what it would look like for Booker to average 30 over the course of a season. Now, I am going to, you know, put the clown makeup on and be the Joker here and say, I thought it would happen last season. I went out, I had all sorts of bullish Booker predictions last year heading into the season. I said, you know, he'll average 30, he'll get MVP votes and this and that. None of that happened. I underestimated just how big of a role that Chris Paul would play right away, as well as the narrative aspect from an MVP standpoint of the, you know, franchise savior, point god, comes to a new team and makes an impact, et cetera, et cetera. So Booker didn't really get the benefit of the doubt in that way. And fairly, I think, fair enough. I mean, I think Booker is probably, on the whole, the best player on this team, but I get the idea that Paul really made that impact, and it's clear that he did. So no qualms there, but he didn't average 30 either. So I was wrong there. He played a little bit, you know, more within the system last season. He, you know, was able to rest a lot of nights. He was able to take a back seat in the clutch a lot of times. He, you know, he just got his offense in the flow of things because he didn't need to go outside of the system and try to do too much. And we all appreciated that. It was a very magical season for Mr. Booker, but I still feel like here that it is worth looking at a little bit. What could it be? What might it look like that would allow Booker to average 30? You know, would probably look a lot like it did tonight, which is that he took 24 shots. Nobody else took more than 10. Of course, that definitely helps. In the month of December so far, Booker is averaging 23 points per game, but he's only played, that was through five games, so this 38 will bring that up. This will be the highest scoring month of his season so far, I would think. We'll see what happens in Boston, but Booker tends to play pretty well in Boston. So, of course, taking more shots helps. Of course, taking more threes definitely helps. So taking 12, you would imagine he would be much closer to 10 if you were to actually do this per game, whereas in the past, his career high in threes attempted per game was 2017-18 when he averaged 7. You know, somewhere between 7 and 10 you'd think he would want to be taking. You would think that he would need to get to the free throw line more, which again, he did tonight. He's only this season getting to the line 4.1 times per game. He was on a roll from 2017 to 2020 where he was 6+ per game. That's where you would want to see him be, you know, maybe even higher. If he could climb that closer to 8, 9, 10, of course, that really helps. He has cut down his turnovers. So I talked about that a lot early in the season, but that has continued. This is the lowest turnover percentage of his entire career. So that is clearly on the right track. So, you know, overall more shots, obviously keeping up the threes and the free throw rate. And I you know, when I think about this, I think a lot about Bradley Beal. I think there's such similar players in a lot of different ways. And one of the things that I think Beal has done that Booker has not quite been able to add to his game consistently is getting to the basket. Beal is somebody who is just, I don't even want to say crafty necessarily, but twitchy, quicker, more athletic, and he's able to. So Beal this season let me see here, his 20% of his shots are within 0 to 3 feet. Last season it was 18, but the season before is really the big one, and that was nearly a quarter of his shots were within 0 to 3 feet. Now, for reference, if you go to Booker in the same category, this season 11% of his shots, last season 18, and he's never even gotten to that, you know, 24-25% rate, let alone the 28% that Beal actually did once upon a time as well. So you would want to see just more efficiency in terms of shot selection. So you want to see more of those free throws, more shots at the rim, and then continuing to have that three-point volume and that three-point effectiveness, which brings us to the question of if Booker were to, you know, Paul played in this game against Oklahoma City, so it's a little bit of a weird night to be necessarily imagining this because he just did it while Paul was playing, and there are just going to be some of these nights where Paul is able to take a back seat. He doesn't need to do too much. Payne is going to have a great night, and it can just fall into place. But nevertheless, whether it's Cameron Payne or somebody else, you would think Monty's system works best with a sort of initiator, offensive playmaking engine at the one and Booker at the two, and probably whoever would, you know, replace Chris down the line would be a little bit less controlling. So maybe that balance looks a little bit more like it did between Booker and Rubio than it does now. And you could easily imagine Booker getting more opportunities with the ball in his hands, which is easier to get those paint shots and those free throws, of course. And I do think we're headed back toward a situation where Booker, you know, it's not going to be point book per se. It's not going to be the James Harden comps that we all threw out when we were punch drunk on the tanking era and watching bad basketball and wondering, oh, what could this be? What could this look like? And I think we know a lot more about Booker's game now than we did then. That's why I think the Beal comparison and other guys like that is far more accurate. Brandon Roy is somebody that Monty has thrown out. Obviously, we think about Kobe sometimes way more than, you know, a James Harden or Luka Doncic or any of those guys. That's not what Devin Booker is. It's not what he wants to be. So I think that the 30 point average, if we were ever to get there for Booker, it would be that. It would be the efficiency would do it. The shot selection would do it. Not turning the ball over would do it. Just using and maximizing every single possession. And that's what makes him such a unique and awesome and fun player. But it also is worth considering when you think about what type of team you want to build around him in whatever the next iteration of this is. You know, last season, he just spent a lot of the year figuring it out. Whereas now I think we're starting to really see what it can look like. So, you know, maybe it is Payne, or maybe it's somebody who is sort of a 3-and-D plus passing type of you know, teammate, of backcourt mate for Booker, more so than purely a, you know, setting the table type of guy. I think he can succeed next to a Payne type and be pretty awesome. And I think that's probably closer to what the next version of this team is going to look like, because you can't find another Chris Paul. That's not in the cards. You can't recreate or put together a new Chris Paul. You have to figure out how to reimagine the team. And I think Booker, this version that we saw against Oklahoma City, the guy we've seen since the return from the hamstring injury, is probably a lot like what that version of him and that version of this team will be. So just a little bit of a trip into the future there, and a little bit of fun imagining. I think that's really cool, and I'm excited to watch it. Of course, I'm going to enjoy the CP book era, of course, as well. But you know, the melding of the two is really fun to think about. Another fun to think about is if a lot of our favorite characters from the Phoenix Suns multiverse, the timeline era multiverse, the Ryan McDonough multiverse, had stayed in Phoenix, or maybe a portal opened up and they popped right into the current iteration of this team. So I'll go down. We did the future, now we'll do the past. Coming up first, though, a word from betonline.ag, the best place to hang out throughout bowl season and into the pro football playoffs. The real deal is they have more props, odds, and lines than anywhere else. They feed that urge, that impulse to make some money on these games as you're enjoying watching them. And they do it better than anybody. They do it more with more volume than anybody, and they are your number one spot for all sports all the time. Head to the website, that's of course betonline.ag, or their mobile app, make an account, and when you do, use the promo code LOCKEDON when you make your first deposit to get a 50% welcome bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDON when you make your first deposit to get a 50% welcome bonus straight to your account. From those football playoffs to the basketball regular season, even your favorite Vegas casino games, maybe you like the fight game. They got boxing and UFC as well. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers throughout 2021 and into the new year. BetOnline, again, the fastest and easiest way to make a bet on any of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I'm watching Ty Jerome start this game. Was watching him warm up the other night when Oklahoma City was here before, just a bit ago. And I was thinking about the halcyon days of games not mattering, development being the only thing that we ever watched in these games, and just how weird game-to-game, month-to-month, season-to-season the idea of this Suns roster just was. It was completely rolling over, flipping over every single year. It felt like you never knew who was actually good and who wasn't because the roster construction was so screwed up and they just insisted on not having a point guard. And I kind of miss it in its own way. Of course, I love the winning more, and this is by far preferable. But it was fun to just see these characters roll through town every so often, whether it was a second-round pick, whether it was a first-round lottery guy, a two-way player, a 10-day contract, whatever it might have been. It never felt real. It never felt... you could never pin any of it down. But nevertheless, some of them have stayed in the NBA. So I wanted to quickly do a little bit of a five-man unit here of guys. So this is actually, unfortunately, not going to include Ty Jerome because I'm only going to include players who were on the team prior to 2019-2020. I mean, that year's group was basically a 500 team. They went 8-0 in the bubble. That really turned the franchise around. So I don't think that was the tanking era necessarily once Monty got to town. Instead, it's going to be all before that. So, Ty Jerome, having been drafted in 2019, only spending that one season in Phoenix, he does not count. So, where I'm going to start is actually the Monday night game before this against the Memphis Grizzlies. He did not play in the game. He was out in the health and safety protocol. You know where I'm going. D'Anthony Melton. I continue to believe that he would have been a humongous addition to this team. He first and foremost would have been another great option at the point of attack defensively so that Mikal Bridges was not stretched so thin and put into uncomfortable circumstances so often. Melton was a picture perfect fit with this group, and I think he would have survived here. I think he plays the right way. He's just good enough on offense. I love D'Anthony Melton. I wish he would have stayed. I think that trade was still pretty bizarre just to unload Josh Jackson, basically. They had to give up D'Anthony Melton, who is just a really good player and got paid already and proved himself and would have been huge here. So he is the starting, basically, two guard here on this team. I'm going to jump to another fan favorite at the center spot here. Rashawn Holmes, who I loved even when he was in Philadelphia. Then he comes to Phoenix. He is instant energy. He was one of the only guys consistently playing hard on those awful, awful teams. He would come out. You knew he was good for a double-double. You knew he was good for a rim-rattling dunk that got the crowd, whatever little amount of crowd there might have been back in those days, on their feet and excited to cheer for this team. And he's turned himself into a player. I think he's a little bit overrated in my opinion. I don't think he is quite a good enough defender to be a truly great difference maker. But of course, when you're comparing him to the other guys in this group, he is far and away the best center that would have come through here at any point in that time. At the forward spot, the first forward spot, TJ Warren, who I think because of the weird and contentious way that he kind of exaggerated his knee injury and then was traded unceremoniously for cash, I think that the sour taste that all of that left in Suns fans' mouths actually underplays how good he was. He had turned himself into a pretty darn good and efficient player before he left. Now, adding a three ball the minute that he left and becoming more of a solid defender the minute that he left, understandably contributes more to that sour taste in everybody's mouths, and I get that. But even the version that was a Phoenix Sun was still pretty darn good, and so he is the starting forward on our team. The other starting forward is my beloved Daniel House, who may or may not have jeopardized the entire health and, general safety of the bubble last year and has now been cut by the Houston Rockets, does not always play hard, has very much taken a step back since he was on a great team. He does not seem like the type of guy that necessarily is a floor raiser with his energy or his consistency, but is a very, very solid two-way wing considering where he came from, which was basically this guy on the fringes of the G League and 10 days here and there and everything else, and then suddenly catches on and is starting for a championship team alongside, of course, the point guard back in Houston. So very good story there, and he has to be on this team. I also just love him, so I found him. I called him, and he was here for like 2 weeks, and I told everybody he was good, and he turned out to be good, and I will never let anybody forget it, because there were so few of those during that time that I have to call them out when they are there. The point guard on this team is really difficult because Suns just didn't have one for most of that time. However, if we're, you know, using the period between when Booker got drafted and when Monty got hired, you have to go with Eric Bledsoe. I feel like it's a little bit of a cop-out. I'm sure some of you would have said Shaq Harrison. I get that. Maybe you would have said Javon Carter, although I guess that doesn't count because he was here. He didn't get here till 2019, so I guess with these rules, he's not eligible. So I will go with Bledsoe. Definitely not going to go with Brandon Knight. Definitely not going to go with Elia Kobo or any of these guys. Tyler Ulis, hell no. So I'll go with Bledsoe, even though it is a little bit of a stretch. He was not really in the same caliber of like lottery pick, you know, weight of the world on his shoulders, rebuild hero type. But he did play here at that time. He played great. I still love Eric Bledsoe. I'm disappointed it didn't work out in Milwaukee because I think that would have been really cool for him to get. And the Suns would have won in the finals if Drew Holiday did not play for the Bucks, which would have happened if Eric Bledsoe did still play for the Bucks. So maybe that's a little bit of a homer in me too. But Bledsoe fills out the lineup. So it is Bledsoe, Melton, House, Warren, Holmes. I think that team could win like 30 games. If nothing else, they gave way to this championship contender that we all love watching so much. The deliverer of an 18-point whopper to the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. And nice way to close out the week. We got another game on Friday morning. I will not be recapping that, though. Instead, I will be giving you one more episode tomorrow. Hoping to get a guest. We'll see what happens. Until then, guys, enjoy your Thursday. I'll talk to you soon.